Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are live on the air around the world in Jesus' name, and we praise God. We praise God for being here on today. I want to start off by saying, I give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, Bishop Cook, in Jesus' name, God bless you, giving honor to also my pastor and First Lady, Pastor William and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. And giving honor to all of the Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. I love you all in Jesus' name. Today, I want to say thank you to everybody that prayed for me and my family on last week. I was not on the air on last week, had to go to a funeral. One of my family members transitioned from this life into eternity. So we had to go and be comfort to my family. So just continue to pray for us in Jesus' name as we continue to pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen. But on today we have a topic that is very, very powerful. And today, I just want to come and encourage people today. I want to come and encourage. And the Lord gave me this. I was at church on this past Sunday, and the preacher that was preaching, he preached a powerful word of God coming from the book of St. John, chapter 9. And he was talking about God did it on purpose. God did it on purpose. And he was talking about the blind man, who Jesus healed. And you know, this blind man was of age, and the people asked him that were around, they asked him, well, who did Jesus heal? Well, first they asked his parents, and the parents said, he's of age, you need to ask him, and they began to ask him, and, you know, they were telling this man to give God the praise, that he shouldn't give Jesus the praise, but this man said, hey, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in him or not, I wasn't able to see, but now I'm able to see. Amen. And so today we're going to be talking about today. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And I'm not going to be coming from St. John chapter 9, but I got inspired to read another scripture in two other scriptures to get this topic, just to give you a little bit of a preview of what we're going to go over. Amen. This is the Lord's doing. Amen. And we all know that verse, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Well, the subtitle to this would be, We Walk by Faith. We walk by faith. Amen. So I want to go to Psalms. I want to start off in the book of Psalms, Psalms 118. Psalms 118. And I'm going to start at the 23rd verse. Amen. And I'm going to start there. And I'm going to read that to you in your hearing. And it reads, This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. And this will tie this all together, these two scriptures. These two scriptures will allow us to tap into what the Lord is trying to tell us on about this topic on today. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. Amen. And it reads, For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. When we talk about the Lord, when we talk about what the Lord does for us, if we could take a, if we could look at a video of our life and see everything that the Lord has done for us, we as people, we would rejoice. We would rejoice in the fact that, hey, the Lord has brought me through this. The Lord has brought me through that. The Lord has times where I wasn't so good, He still kept me. The times that I was good and it seemed like all of life's problems were on my, just on me, on my shoulders. And the Lord stepped in and delivered me. If we looked at our life, if somebody looked at your life today, could you tell them or could you show them and say, hey, this is what the Lord did for me. And it's marvelous in my eyesight. And I want you to take a look at what the Lord has done for me. Because it would be marvelous unto your eyesight. The tests and trials that we face in our lives comes to us for multiple reasons. One reason is because the Lord wants us to be able to know that He is able, to know that He is able. To know that he is able and righteous enough to give us what we need. This is one of the reasons why we go through the tests and trials of life. Another reason is to build our faith. Now I want you to write this stuff down because the tests and trials of life do not come to break you, but they come to make you. Amen. They come because God, sometimes there are several reasons why tests and trials come. Number one, it could come because of disobedience, yes. Some could come because of the trying of our faith, trying to get something out of us. The Lord sees something in us. The Lord sees amount of strength in us that He's trying to get out of us. Amen. And so when we look at the things that we go through and the things that we face, we should not be afraid of what we go through. We should not give in to the times that the enemy says, you can't do this. We should be able to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. If we walk by faith and not by what we see, our faith will work out the problem. If we went to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. That's the start of where, of us getting to where we need to get deliverance. The faith that we have in God gets us to where we need to get to. Amen. And when we get there, we can say at the end of the test, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's not marvelous. It's marvelous because, why is it marvelous in our eyes? It's marvelous in our eyes because these things that the Lord does for us, we don't have the power to do it. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't see a way out, and you knew that if you done tried every area, you done tried this area, you done tried that area, you done been over here, you done been over there, and every place that you look at, it seems like there's no relief at all. Have you ever been in a time and a place where your money was funny, or your children were acting up, or you got this bad report from the doctor, and you got this report over here, and everything is just going every which way in your life, but God stepped in, and he delivered you. You knew that there was no way out. People told you, hey, look, I don't know how you're going to do this, but it was of the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous in your eyes because you saw that there was no way out. People told you that there was no way out. The devil himself told you, oh, no, this is it. You might as well give up. But you stood on the faith of God, believing that he can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. It's no time to give up now. It's no time to give up now, because if we give up now, we're on the brink of our miracle. Some people might think, hey, Minister Adam, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. How can you say I'm on the brink of my miracle and I'm going through this? I got this coming at me. I got this fiery dart coming at me. I got this over here. I got to worry about my children. I got to worry about my family. I got my wife over here, my husband over here. This bill is, how can you say I'm on the brink of my miracle? Because the Bible lets us know that he knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he won't put more on us than what we can bear. The Bible lets us know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. Do you not understand that the things that we battle with, the things that we go through, the Lord already went through it? He knows, the Bible says he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knew before you even went through the problem or the circumstance, he already knew how he was going to deliver you. He already knew. He already had the plan set up. I remember one time I taught a lesson on my podcast one time, and the title of it was, It's a Fixed Fight. Amen. The Lord had me preach that also. It's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. Every battle that you have, whether it be spiritually or naturally, it's a fixed fight. The Lord has already seen the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, you might say, "Well, Minister Adam, how in the world could you say that when I'm still dealing with this?" Okay, you're dealing with it. It has not killed you. It has not took you over. It hasn't taken you over because you're listening to me right now. So whatever you're faced with, hasn't taken you out. Amen. You made it this far by faith. You made it this far by the prayers of the righteous. You made it this far by your praise. You've made it this far. It does not matter what you go through. What matters is how you go through it. I'm going to say it again. It does not matter what you go through. It matters how you go through it. Amen. The Bible says, be of good courage. While you're going through the pain, while you're going through the circumstance, we have to walk by faith in everything that we do. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. Because I want to bring something out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. Because at the end of the test, while that now faith is in process, then now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. While your faith is being activated, while your faith is in the midst of working, guess what Jesus says about you? Amen. Guess what he said in his word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. This is why we go through the test right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and it reads, "But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Amen. This will blow everybody away. When you come out of this, it blew, for example, people's minds. It blew from my own personal life, and I'm speaking about my own personal life now, because I don't know your testimony, but I can just tell you mine. It blew my former doctor that I used to have, my former heart doctor, because I have a new one now. But my former heart doctor, I knew him he was my doctor for over, 15, 16, maybe 17 years. And in those years, it blew his mind. The things that I can do. It blew his mind. And he would always ask me, "How are you able to do this? How are you able to go here and go there and not have any problem? Look like you have no problems." And I said, it was nothing but the grace of God. Now, mind you, the reason why I said earlier, we go through tests and trials not just to build for multiple reasons. We go through tests and trials for multiple reasons. Some, like I said, is to build up our faith. But it's also to be a witness unto man, unto the sinner man, unto the righteous man. Amen. The Acts 1 and 8 says that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses. Now, that ain't just talking about Jesus. That's also showing off the power of God in your life. That's being a witness. Amen. And when you're being a witness, I've had people ask me down through the 35 years I have been on this earth, I have had a lot of people ask me, how are you able to do this? It is nothing but the grace of God. This is the Lord's doing. I'm just walking by faith because there are many things that I'm faced with that I don't have an answer to. I'm going to be honest with you. There are many things in my life that I've been through that I did not have the answer to. And I would go to God. And I would stand on the word of God. I would stand on the word of God. Simply. I would simply stand on the word of God. You said the Bible. I was having a conversation with the Lord one time. I said, Lord, you said in your word that there is no good thing that you would withhold from them that walk up right before you. You said that in your word, and I'm standing on your word. You said that your word would not return unto you void. And the Bible does say, try me. Prove me. Well, how do you try him? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? Trusted in him. You got to have faith. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to trust him. This is how. That's why that scripture says, no good thing would he withhold from us that walk upright before him. There are a lot of people that get to the brink of their miracle, and they're still in the middle of the test. They're almost to their miracle, and they give up. Oh, no, this is too much. I'm about to give. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel, because this is of the Lord's doing. But you just got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. I don't care what somebody has told you. I don't care what that test result says. You got a doctor's report that's bad? I don't care. Now, when I say I don't care, I'm not saying don't do what the doctor tells you to do. Do what the doctor tells you to do. But you ain't got to accept the report. Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Amen. This is what we need to do. Now watch this. The Bible lets us know that we must, in walking in faith in where we're trying to go. Don't you know, walking in faith, you know that you have to, we must, it ain't, it, we, this is a have to thing. We must, this is a must. I ain't even going to say have to, this is a must. We must go to the Lord in everything we say and do. For real. When we walk by faith to try to get to where we're going, so we can say this is of the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my eyes. So we can quote, so we can live out Psalms 118, verse 23. The only way to get to Psalms 118, verse 23. The only way to live that out is that we got to go to God for everything, in everything that we do, everything that we say and do. I got scripture to back it up. You want that miracle? You got to go to God for it. You got to stand on God's holy word for it. Let's go to Colossians 3:17. Just to give you an inkling, I got two scriptures to show you where we have to go to God. To get to where we want to go, we got to go to God. We can't go any other place. There is nothing else that will help us. Let's go to Colossians 3:17. I told you, I got two scriptures. There's more scriptures, but I'm only giving you these two because we only have a limited amount of time. Amen. You might say, there's only two scriptures? No, there's more than two. Amen. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And it reads, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all," not some, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What does that mean? In everything that I do, in every problem that I go through, I have to seek God. You might think you know the answer. Still seek him. I told somebody in my family just this past week, Jesus is like a spiritual GPS. We need to use him to guide us through life in everything that we do. Some people only go to God when they're going through problems. Some people only go to God when they ain't facing nothing. But the Bible lets us know that we should be in communication and in the presence of God at all times. How do I know? Psalms 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." This verse right here in Colossians 3:17 lets us know that we are supposed to be in the presence of God in everything that we do to get to where we're going, to get to where the Lord wants us to be, to get that career choice that we make. We got to ask God before we do that, so that we can say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. I saw a person on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends, they were telling a testimony about how they received this new car, and they got offered this job, and they turned down, they prayed about it, and they turned down the job. Because the Lord told him to go another way. And now that they turned down that job, but they took another job, the Lord is blessing them. Because, why? Because they sought the Lord first. They got a brand new car, brand new place to live. Amen. This is what the Lord does for us. But we have to walk by faith. What man sees as, look, you turn down, anytime, and I was talking to this, I saw this individual's testimony on Facebook, and it made my heart rejoice, because I know that some people looked at that individual and was like, wait a minute, you're going to turn down this job all because of this? And I know that they had some backlash. I didn't specifically talk to them about it, but I know that they had some background. Anytime the Lord tells you to do something and say you're going to the Lord in prayer about something and you're seeking the Lord and you're fasting and you're praying and you're in the Word of God, you're going to have backlash. I can already tell you that now. If it ain't backlash from a person, it's going to be backlash from the devil. So either way, you're going to get backlash. Somebody going to come at you and tell you, oh, no, you don't need to do that. You need to go over here. You need to, you follow what God wants you to do. Follow the ways of God. We just read it in Colossians 3 and 17. Whatsoever ye do in what? Word, which means whatever you verbalize, do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do indeed, do it for Jesus. Because when you do it for him, he'll get the glory. And you'll be able to say, this is of the Lord's doing. It wasn't of me. I was led by God to do this. Well, how were you able to get that car when your credit score is messed up? Because I listened to the voice of the Lord. I listened to the voice of the Lord. That's how. Are you sure? Yep. There are many times in our life where we need to walk by faith. We need to walk by faith and let God lead us. Let him lead us in every area of our life. Do you not know that in my life I have lost friends? I have lost friends because the Lord said, don't do that. Lord said, don't go with them. But Lord, I need friends. I'll be a friend. I'm a friend to sit closer than a brother. But I need love. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And I'll bring those people into your life that needs to be in your life. I'll bring those individuals. I'll bring the right people. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 1, don't be around ungodly people. Amen. Matter of fact, we'll read it. I'm going to get to, matter of fact, I'm going to read this next scripture talking about what we need to do in doing everything in the name of Jesus. Amen. Seeking God. Then I'm going to go to the scripture about being in with your company. Amen. The company you keep. Because that can hinder you from getting to your blessing. The company that you keep. Amen. The Bible says evil communication corrupt what? Good manners. Amen. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6. This is why, look, I have three best friends, natural, earthly best friends. I've only had three best friends in my whole life. And one of them became family, literally, became family, became a sister-in-law. Amen. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll deal with the company in a minute. But Matthew chapter 6, because I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Amen. And it reads, For after all these things do the Galileans seek. Amen. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, this is why we need to seek the Lord. This is why we need to walk by faith. When you seek God, you walk by faith. Because sometimes, and the reason why I say when you seek God, you're walking by faith. Because sometimes when we seek the Lord don't always answer at that moment. Sometimes he don't. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes, and I know from experience, and this is not something that I just read in the Bible. This is something that I know of. The time I dealt with the issue of my heart when I was 18. When I turned 18, I dealt with a heart issue. My heart rate got to 232 beats a minute. And this is not one time, this is multiple times. 232 beats a minute. My heart was out of rhythm. And I was asking God, why? I thought I was over with this. And the Lord did not say anything. But I knew he was there. He was listening, but he didn't say nothing to me. He kept quiet. And I kept asking, why? Some people ask God why you got me doing that, God, and why? No, that wasn't what I just wanted to know why. Like, I'm serving you. I'm only 18. I'm about to graduate. Why? Did I do something wrong? Did something happen or what? I don't know what took place. Lord, why? And the Lord didn't tell me or didn't give me an answer until the end. He told me all the reason why I went through it. Now, I dealt with this issue starting at 18. I dealt with this issue for 2 years straight. Now, he let me know through the doctors what was going on with me, but me asking why am I going through, he didn't let me know until the end. And he let me know at the end of it. He let me know. He said, I allowed you to go through that for two reasons: to build your faith and to show off my glory, because there is someone that was watching you go through, and they're getting ready to go through the same exact thing. I said, okay. It didn't even take a month, and there was a person at my former church that went through that same thing. And they came to me and they said, I watched you go through and you never complained. You never complained. The only thing that I heard from, other than that conversation that I had with the Lord, the only time that he really, really spoke to me about my situation was another time at a choir rehearsal. And he said, if you pray, because I asked the Lord to allow me. I never asked him to heal me. I ask him to let me praise him the way I want to, because anybody that knows me knows I love to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord in the mall. I'll praise the Lord at home. I'll shout. My wife and my children have seen me shout around my house. I don't just wait till I get to church. Some people just wait till they get to church. Oh, no, I'm not that way. I've never been that way. I will praise the Lord at church. If you don't want to praise him, I'll praise him, because I got a right to and I got a reason to. I got a reason to praise. If you want to hold back your praise, that's fine. But I ain't. So I will ask the Lord, I'm going through this, but I want to praise you the way I want to. And other than that time, that conversation that I had with the Lord, and the Lord told me why I went through it, the only time that time before that was when I was in the middle of a choir rehearsal, and the praises were high in that choir rehearsal, and I said, Lord, and I was saying it in my mind, I was saying, Lord, just let me praise you, just let me praise. This spirit is so high. I just want to praise you. And the enemy started playing with my mind, and he began to tell me, if you praise the Lord, if you shout, if you dance, if you do anything, you're going to drop dead. You're going to drop dead. Now, my mentality, most people's mentality, I'm scared. Wait a minute. I don't want to die. That wasn't mine. Well, my mentality was, well, devil, if I'm going out of here, I'm going out of here with a praise. And I started lifting my hands, and I distinctly heard the voice of the Lord say, if you praise me, I'll bless you. And that's the only thing that the Lord said to me. If you praise me, I'll bless you. And I said, okay. And I began to start worshiping God. I began to start worshiping him. And literally, I kid you not, I felt God's hand on my chest. I felt a warmness on my chest. And I felt like a hand was placed on my chest, holding me. And it was like a giant hand was on my chest, holding my chest. And as soon as that hand touched my chest, I began to shout. I began to praise him. And that was the first time in over a year that I was able to praise the Lord. In almost 2 years that I was able to praise God. The first time in almost 2 years I was able to shout and dance like I wanted to. I just wanted to give God the praise. And I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. If you praise me, I'll bless you. All right. You ain't said nothing but a word, Jesus. And I walked by faith. I did what he told me to do. I wanted to do it anyway. But can we do that? Can we do that when we don't feel like it? Can we listen to the voice of the Lord when we feel like that don't look too wise to do? Can we walk by faith when it seems like that don't make too much sense? To man's eyes, it don't make sense. To God, it makes all the sense in the world. Amen. To God, it makes all the sense in the world. To some people, man, it don't make no sense at all. We got scriptures in the Bible where Jesus did things and man was looking at him like, wait a minute, that don't make no sense. Why are you doing this on this day? Why are you doing... It don't matter. God can show up anytime he wants to. God can deliver you any way he wants to, as short as sin. He will not deliver. Let me say this. He will not deliver somebody regarding doing sin. What do you mean by that? He will not allow somebody to do a sin or commit a sin in trying to get deliverance. Because there is no deliverance in sin. So let me get that straight to you. And the reason why I say that is because some people might say, well, when I take this drink, I feel better. When I take this puff, I feel better. See, I feel the spirits today. I feel it right now. You might say, well, when I do this, I feel better. And if it's sin, no, you ain't gonna feel better. You might feel something at the time, but right when you come down off that high and off that alcohol, you feel a nervous wreck. You still feel the same depression that you felt before, but it takes Jesus. It takes Jesus, and it takes us walking by faith. Amen. If we look in the Bible, that I said earlier, it's also the company that we keep that keeps us from where we need to be in God and in our life. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 1. Amen. Because I want to show you something. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And then to break this down, anybody, all right. I'm gonna read Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. And it reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. Watch the company you keep. If they are not on the same spiritual level that you are on or trying to get to, yep. Now, I'm not saying throw people away. I didn't say that. I didn't say that we're better. I didn't say that. But we're of a royal priesthood. We're of a chosen generation. Amen. We can't mingle with everybody. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why? Why can't I mingle? You might say, well, Minister Adam, to get to my blessing, I can't mingle with everybody. I can't mingle with. No. No, you can't, especially if you're in Christ. You can't mingle with everybody. You wouldn't mingle. Look, I guarantee you, you wouldn't mingle. If you was out there in the world, you wouldn't mingle with everybody. You probably wouldn't even mingle with everybody being out there in the world more than you did with the church. Uh-oh. Because the world is shrewd. The reason why I say that, the world is shrewd. And some of these people don't care. Some of these people don't care. There's a lot of people that don't care about what you're going through or what anybody else is going through. And it's not good to mingle with everybody. So you keep your distance. So you love people from a distance. Amen? And then sometimes it can even be in your own family. How do I know? You might say, well, Minister Adam, how is it in my, I can't mingle with some of my family members? Nope. And I'm going to give you an example. If your family or your friends is not on the same level
as you, that can keep, and you mingling with them, that can keep you from where you need to go in God. The Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. Why do you think Job told his wife, "You speak as a foolish woman"? I told you, family can mess you up sometimes. Friends can mess you up sometimes. That's why it's not good to have everybody around you. But if you have Tyler Perry said it. He said it in one of his, I think it was one of his movies or one of his plays. He said, if you have two or three people, he said he puts everybody in a category of a tree. Puts everybody in the category of a tree. Amen. He puts everybody like leaves on a tree. When the wind blows, they fall off and leave you. Some people are like branches on a tree. A bad storm come, them branches, yeah, they sway left and right, but some of them branches break off and they leave you. But if you get some friends and some family that are like the roots of the bottom of that tree, you got yourself, you're winning. Why? Because they don't need to be seen. They don't need to be heard. They help you. They encourage you. They give you life. Them roots at the bottom of that tree give that tree life. That's why I said I've only had three best friends. There's some family members. And they already know how, my family know how I am. Once some of my family start acting crazy, I will leave. Once some of my friends start acting crazy, I will exit. Why? Because I have a higher standard. I'm called by a higher standard. The Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, which means I'm called to a higher standard. The Bible lets us know that we are royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation, which means I'm called to a higher standard. I have been called to greatness. And I can't be mingling with everybody because it will keep me from where God is trying to get me to go to. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. That's why. We can't mingle with everybody. That's why I got to walk by faith. That's why I got to make sure that everything that I say and do, everything that I say and do, every place that I go to is pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. It makes sense. It don't make no sense for me to be out in the world and me mingling with the things of the world. It don't make no sense. Because if you let the devil ride with you, he going to want to drive. If you let him drive, he going to take you on a crash course that you don't want to go down. He's going to take you down a road. You ever seen those roads? Have you ever been down a road where the road is cut off, or there's a sign up there that says dead end? Well, you let the devil drive, you let the devil ride with you, he'll want to drive. And then once he drives, he'll drive you down a dead end road, a place that leads to nowhere, a place that a road that the Lord has cut off, he'll take you down that road, and you end up in a collision. In your life. That's why we need him as our spiritual GPS, leading and guiding and directing us. This is why. This is why we need him. Because if we do not have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside, leading and directing us, this is why we need to get the Holy Ghost. This is why people that are not saved. And I'm going to tell you something. If you, I'm going to go there. because I said I was going to encourage today, and this is a part of encouragement. If a person, man, woman, boy, or girl, I believe only the only exception is babies. The reason why I say babies is because babies, newborns, babies that can't talk, babies that can't understand right from wrong, those ones, they are the exception. Because the Lord is not going to hold somebody accountable for something that they cannot do or cannot say. Amen. But every man, woman, boy, and girl, and I'm going to say it just like this, I'm going to say it the way the Lord gives it to me. The old school used to say it that way. Amen. If you are not filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are not saved. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, if you have not been born again of the water and the Spirit, you're not saved. And that's Bible. I'm not telling you something that, well, I've been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's good. Come up just a little bit higher. Come and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Well, I've never spoken in tongues. Hey, if you got the Holy Ghost, you will. If a person truly has the Holy Ghost, they'll speak in tongues. And that's for everybody. In the book of Hebrews, he says he is the same yesterday. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. His word does not change. What it meant for them back on the day of Pentecost, it means for us now. We need the Holy Ghost to live right. We need the Holy Ghost to lead and direct our lives. Because when you come into this world, you come into this world a sinner. You come into this world with no direction, but you have to be directed. You have to be guided. Amen. The Lord knows what we need and when we need it, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. If we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse 15, it lets us know that he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows every hurt, every pain. That's why he's able to guide us. That's why he's able to deliver us, because he knows us. Amen. How do I know even more? You just been flowing through the Old Testament. Well, and you just been flowing, giving me verses out of the New Testament about how God knows me. Well, what about the Old Testament? Is there anything in the Old Testament that tells me that God knows me? Yep, sure is. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 2. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it lets us know that likewise the Spirit helps our infirmity. What's an infirmity? An infirmity can be something that you're battling with. Infirmity can be I'm going to say it this way because I lived it. Now, anybody that knows me and has seen me knows I have a disability. I have a physical disability that people can see. That's an infirmity. But there are some people that are spiritually disabled in the mind. There are people spiritually disabled. spiritually. They spiritually cannot get over what they're going through. And it's an infirmity. It is a spiritual infirmity. It's a disability. Wondering why addictions are spiritual disabilities. They're spiritually disabled. They have an addiction to drugs. They have an addiction now. They have addiction to this, addiction to that. And they wonder why they can't come out, because you're disabled. You're spiritually disabled. But I know and I have somebody that can break that disability. Amen. If we look in the Bible, we can see where God delivered people with ailments in their body. People battling with dealing with demonic spirits. If we look in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, there were two possessed with devils. He cast them out. Amen. Amen. If we look in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we can see that the man with the withered hand, he had a physical disability. He was physically disabled. And with that, the Lord healed him. Amen. If we look in Mark chapter 5, verses 6 through 13, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he delivered him. Amen? He delivered him. We have other the blind man at the gate, beautiful. He healed him. The Lord's power healed him. Amen. You might say, well, Jesus wasn't there at the gate, beautiful, Minister Adam, but his power was. Yeah, I know. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give unto thee. But the disciples, they couldn't move. They couldn't do anything without the power of God. Peter was up there laying hands on people, praying for folks, like we do today. We can't do nothing without the power of God. We can't. These things cannot be done without the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The man that was born blind in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, starting at verse number 1. Jesus healed this man. And this man was born blind. And guess what? The reason why I said sometimes what looks foolish to man, what looks don't look right to man, is all right to God, might seem crazy to man. It don't seem crazy to God. The way God can heal in anything in any way He wants to heal somebody. In any area of their life. The man that was born blind, Jesus spit on the ground. Jesus put spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle and put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash. Go in the pool and wash. And as soon as he washed,
he immediately received sight.
Now, this would look crazy unto normal people. A man spitting on the ground, he takes his spit and that dirt and makes clay out of it and then rubs it in the man's face or rubs it in the man's eyes. That would look crazy to what we call a normal individual. A doctor, an optometrist, or whatever you call the eye doctor, that would look crazy unto him. That would look crazy unto that eye doctor. Why would you spit on the ground and make clay and put it in the man's eyes? And that's going to heal him? No, it won't. But it did here. Amen. If we have any of the Spirit Alive family on right now, I want them to have a chance to say something. If we have anybody on right now, in Jesus' name, you can have the opportunity to say something in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But if we look at the Word of God, if we just look at the Word of God, take the time out to read the Word of God, we know that this is of the Lord's doing. And we can walk by faith. We can. We walk by faith in everything that we do. Amen. If Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 lets us know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Brother Adam, what are you saying? Anything that we go through, when the enemy comes in, when those problems start weighing you down, the Lord will lift up that standard and remove that thing that's trying to take you out. That's why I said earlier, the things that we are going through right now, it didn't kill you. It might have left some bumps, might have left some bruises, but you're still alive. You might have scars, but you're still living. And I can guarantee you, Job had scars, emotional scars, mental scars, because he had people coming against him. He had a lot coming against him. But he still kept his joy. He still kept his integrity. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Do you know that when we do it the Lord's way, that's why I was saying earlier, we do it the Lord's way. You know, we'll get so much joy out of doing it the Lord's way. We'll get joy out of doing it the Lord's way. You'll feel so much peace when you do it the Lord's way, coming out of that problem. And you know what the Bible says? When you get the joy of the Lord down on the inside of you, when you have that peace, you'll have strength to go further in what you're trying to do and what the Lord wants you to do. You'll have so much joy, and you'll get more strength to go on and go forth. That's why this problem ain't killed you. This is why the problem ain't took you out, because of the fact you walk by faith. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, you have allowed the Lord
You've been led by the Lord to do it the way the Lord told you to do it. You did it the way the Lord told you to do it, which brought you more peace, which brought you more joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why the enemy can't kill you. That's why that problem hasn't taken you out, because you got more strength. You've got more strength to continue. You got more strength to go on. You've got more strength to say, yes, I can make it. And at the end of it, you can say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. It's marvelous. It's marvelous in my eyes. Romans 8:28 says, backing up Psalms 118, verse 23, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his what? Purpose. His purpose was designed. His purpose for you was designed for him to get the glory and for you to be blessed. That's why we read it earlier. We read it earlier that, but it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has for them that love him. That's why people are able to look at you and say, man, you did that. Man, you were able to do that. Yes. Yes, I was able to. Yes, I was able to go. Yes, I was able. Because of God, I was able. Because of the joy of the Lord, I was able to go through. Because I walked by faith and not by sight. My faith kept me whole. The woman with the issue of blood, she got healed because of her faith. The Bible, he said to the woman, your faith has made thee whole. When he was on that ship, when Jesus was on the bottom of that ship and his disciples were scared, he said, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. Where's your faith? Where is your faith? I remember I preached a sermon a long time ago, back when I was, I had just really, really started ministering. But the Lord gave me a sermon. It was titled, Work Your Faith. Work Your Faith. Work Your Faith. What do you mean by work my faith? The Bible says faith without works is dead. We got to work our faith. We got to show our faith in God off to not just people, but unto God. Because sometimes God just wants to see if you have faith in him. Sometimes he don't answer right then and there just to see what you're going to do. Just to see what you're going to say. Just to see if you're going to complain. Just to see if you're going to give up. Sometimes the devil comes to God and says, well, if you allow him to go through that, don't you know that there is board meetings in hell about you. There is board meetings in hell about me too. Well, God, if you just move your hand. They had board meetings about Job. The devil came to God and said, God, if you just move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. Now, what you think if you do that to Job, what you think you think you're not entitled to get that? You think you're not entitled for the devil to try to do that to you? You think I'm not entitled for the devil to try to do that to me? No, sir. No, ma'am. The devil does that to everybody. Well, if you, Lord, if you just allow me to just do this, he'll curse your teeth. Oh, he'll give up. He'll throw in the towel. She'll throw in the towel.
And the Lord knows you. The Lord knows what you'll do before you do it.
That's why he allows it or he doesn't allow it. That's why we said he knows the feelings of our infirmities. That's why he said, I won't put more on you than what you can bear. That's why we need to lean and depend on God. We cannot live this life without him. The Bible lets us know in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, the thief, the beginning of that verse says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief is the devil. He brings the problems. He brings the issues. He brings the heartache. He brings the temptation. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, if you're going through a temptation, he'll help you out of your temptation. You might say, well, Lord, it's hard for me to stop smoking. Not if you had a Holy Ghost, it ain't. It's hard for me to stop watching pornography. Uh-oh. It's hard for me to stop drinking. It's hard for me to stop weed smoking. It's hard for me to stop doing this and doing that. It's hard for me. No, it's not. No, it's not. But you just got to stand on faith. It's not hard if you have the Lord on the inside of you. See, I'm dealing with life issues. It's hard for me to come out of this depression. No, it's not. No, it's not. That is a spirit. It's hard for me to come out of this oppression. No, it's not. That is a spirit. And just as well as Jesus cast out spirits, he can take it out of us. He sent, there was two possessed with devils in Matthew chapter 8, verse Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 34. He cast those devils out, and he sent them in the swine. He sent those devils into swine. The man with the unclean spirit, he had multiple. Jesus asked the devils his name, and he said, Legion. Our name is Legion, which means many. One man had many devils in it, and he cast all those devils out of him, all of those unclean spirits out of him. And he can do the same for us. Those spirits of addictions, those addictions that we have, he can knock them spirits out of you. And when I mean knock them out of you, he will use his power and take those spirits out. But you got to let him. You got to let him. You got to allow him to. And the way you allow him to is that when he cleans you up, you got to stay. You got to stay in the word. You got to reach for him. We read it earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is nothing out there in this world that is better than what God has for you. There's nothing out there. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? The most important thing you have in this world today is your soul. Is your soul. That's what you got. Your soul. And your soul and my soul and everybody else's soul got to spend eternity
somewhere. There is no purgatory. I'm here to tell you that now. There is no wait. You don't believe me? The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And the rich man's grave is still there. But when he passed from this life into eternity, he lifted up, he opened up his eyes in hell. You can either open up your eyes in heavenly places or you can open up your eyes in hell. It's up to you and it's up to me where we're going to spend eternity. Now, on this part of it, on the end of this, at the end of this, because we're done. But right now, I'm being so blunt right now, I'm not going to play around with this. If you need to be saved, and I'm not shaking nor trembling when I say it, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You must be born again. You had your first birth. Your first birth, when you entered from your mother's womb, when you entered into this world from your mother's womb, you entered into this world a sinner. You came into this world of sin, in sin. Everybody came into this world in sin. In Psalms, David said, from my mother's womb, did my mother conceive me. Amen. And you might hear preachers say, well, you can live any kind of way and you can do this and do that, and once saved, always saved, and you're covered by grace. The Bible, the devil is a lie, because the Bible don't say that. You got to live holy. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And that's Bible. That's Bible. If you do not receive the Holy Ghost, if you do not repent of your sins, yes, you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, but what are you confessing if you haven't tasted of him? And I'm being so serious right now, because there are some preachers that will tell you only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and say the sinner's prayer. Yes, that's part of it. That ain't all of it. Because what you confess, what you believe, you're going to act upon. Believing in your heart, you have to hear the word, and you have to act upon what you've heard. You have to hear the word, believe the word, and then act on what you believe in. What is the act? The act is being repentant. Being godly, sorry for every sin you've ever committed. Saying, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Yes, that's confession with the mouth. Then you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's just repeating what God told you to do. You're just repeating what God said. He did not say be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nowhere in the Bible. He did not say it. He said, go ye therefore, baptizing them to go and preach and teach and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You got to figure out what the name is. And that's another lesson for another day. But the Father is Jesus. The Son is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. That's the name. Son is not a Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Those are titles. Those are titles given to Jesus. Amen.
So
on the end of this, I say, I thank God for being here. I hope you got something out of this. I hope that you are blessed. I hope your week is blessed. I hope that everything on this week that you receive multiple and multiples of blessings. And if you are not saved, if you've not been born again of the water and the Spirit, I urge you, and I don't beg anybody to do anything, but I beg you to come. I beg you to come. Come unto this great salvation. Come unto this great salvation. The Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Trust him and believe that he can save and deliver you. Any addiction, anything that you're going through, he can deliver. And you will be able to, once he does deliver you, you will be able to say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in my eyes because I walked by faith. This is the Spirit Alive Network. It is of a great heart for us to preach and teach the word of God that you might be ye transformed. We love you. God bless you. From everybody from the Spirit Alive family, we say God bless you. And we pray that you have a very, very blessed week. From the summit, Minister, with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show, I pray for you. I praise God for you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Apostle Cook, thank you for allowing us to come one more time to teach the word of God in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love you. Continue to pray. Continue to remain in the word of God. Go get your praise on tomorrow. And if you can't wait till tomorrow, get your praise on now in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. I love you very, very much in Jesus' name.